T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Is Butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least 3 times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I'm good, I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And the Braves have won it. Who else but Freddie Freeman to deliver the walk-off blow, the only run of the game in the bottom half of the 13th.
Ah, never a doubt. Last night, the easy Braves win in Game 1, and now they breeze into Game 2 against the Cincinnati Reds. And on to Texas and the next round, because this is just a cakewalk against this team right now in the playoffs. Welcome to the morning show. Hey, by the way, welcome to October. Heck, the Braves almost played into October yesterday. Welcome to October the 1st. It is a Thursday from the Mobile Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Hugh Douglas, what is up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. I'm glad that game went the way that it did, because, my Twitter feed was on ablaze with the mistakes that were made by both squads, but mostly for us here in Atlanta, the Braves, that people were really livid about. And I'm glad it worked out the way that it did. I'm glad Freddie Freeman came up big, or like the announcer just said, Freddie Freeman. That's what it sounded like he said. Came up as big as he did in that moment. Yeah, that was pretty cool, man. That was much needed. That was much needed, John Freaking.
It sounds like you're back in the studio.
No, I'm actually at work this morning. I came in this morning. I'm here.
I'm in the building.
I put my mask on this morning. It was a little different because not being here, getting back in the early morning routine, it kind of threw me off a little bit, even though I knew yesterday that I had to be here. Just the simple fact of getting up and, you know, getting prepared to go to work and everything. It was a little different.
I hate to say that I kind of miss driving into work, but, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that.
No, I mean, you know what, John? It's cool, but it's like, you know, because I had a routine that I followed, and I kind of, you know, it just threw it off just a little bit. But it's fine. I mean, I'm not complaining. You know, I'm here, and I made it on time, but it was just like, man, I didn't do some of the stuff that I normally like to do in the morning. So I have to do it when I get off work, but it's fine. Not a problem. Yeah,
I know you have developed a new routine.
Yeah, and it's like it's thrown off, and so it's just like, okay, got to get, you know, just got to adjust. Yeah, everything is about adjustments. Life is about adjustments.
Yeah, and then what kind of adjustments will the Braves make today for Game 2, which is another noon start? You know, it started at noon yesterday, right? And the game's kind of breezing along a little bit. You know, obviously we're striking out. They're blowing chances, and you know, okay, we got the things are going around. And it just kept going on and on and on and on. And it was like watching, you know, the old movie Fargo. I mean, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse, because at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I thought, hey, I think I looked at the clock at one point and said it was 2:04. I said, man, you know, get a run here. This game's going to be over by 2:30. Oh, no.
Nah, you know what's funny about that? Because I had actually fell asleep. I fell asleep watching the game. You know, went to the dock yesterday and came home and dozed off. And I'm like, damn, they're still playing? And they were talking about, it was A-Rod, and I forgot who the other gentleman was that was doing the game. And they were talking about how the Braves are on the cusp of making history, you know, in the longest game or something like that in Major League Baseball or something to that effect. And how they made some milestones yesterday and how the game just kept going on and on. And there were some opportunities there, you know, guys on second and, you know, potentially coming home. And it just kept going back to reset, which I thought was pretty cool. And I know a lot of people on Twitter, they weren't too happy about that because, it started off, you know, people talking about how the Braves were blowing opportunities and things of that nature. And the only thing I can think to myself is it's not over. And it was amazing to me how many people felt it was over even though they were actually still playing. And I was just like, wow. I mean, but I get it. Again, not picking on the fans. I just get that. I guess I get that mentality. I don't understand it, but I can sympathize with it, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, and look, I was getting frustrated too. I mean, when you have 21 strikeouts, 21, and it wasn't just 21 strikeouts, right? I mean, and yes, I know that there are people on Twitter like credit the Reds pitchers, which, you know.
Yeah, they get paid too.
Yeah, oh, no, Trevor Bauer was great. I mean, no, the Reds pitchers were hard to hit, but it wasn't just 21 strikeouts, Hugh. It was 21 strikeouts, and they weren't even, like, near the ball. I mean, it was just wave, and they're swinging at everything, and it's like, guys, they're going to throw it down and away, and you know, three pitches later, they're waving at three down and away, breaking balls. You're going, do you not know that that's what they're going to do? Can you be a little patient?
You know what's funny about things like that and exactly what you just said? It's funny how we as we're sitting up there and we're armchair pinch hitting or armchair batting or whatever, we look at it like the situation is that as easy as we're painting it to be, and it's not. Like it's fascinating to me how many times people forget how hard it is to do whatever it is these professionals are doing. That's why they're called professionals. And I understand we get in our feelings and everything, but, man, it's not like cats out there just doing it just to be doing it, you know. And that's what it kind of struck me. And then, you know, looking at watching the game and thinking about the moment, how big the moment is for both clubs. You know, you talk about the Cincinnati Reds who have been in the playoffs in a long time. And people knowing how significant and how big that moment is, how people tend to forget how much pressure everybody's under in those circumstances. And they're still, you know, trying to come through in that situation. It just, to me, I thought that was kind of, you know, interesting.
Yeah, well, that's one of the big questions this morning is that, you know, you strike out 21 times, you get as bad as it was. And there were stars yesterday. There were heroes yesterday. Certainly, you know, A.J. Minter was a hero yesterday. I mean, the whole bullpen, you know, Darren O'Day was probably the only one out there that really struggled, but Shane Green wasn't great, but the rest of them.
Max Fried, you know, seven innings.
Fried was a hero, right. Martin, yeah. Melanson, Smith, I mean, all of them were heroic at times. Austin Riley went 1-for-5 with 3 strikeouts, but notwithstanding Freddie's game-winning hit, may have been the position player of the game going 1-for-5 with 3 strikeouts because he gets the one big hit that kind of set up the game-winning run and played great, great defense. I mean, Austin Riley played great defense yesterday on 3 or 4 great plays.
Yeah, to me, that's what jumped out to me was like, that was a defensive game. Now, you know, being the snarky individual I am, if we could just get that kind of defense in the 13th inning from that kind of stop in the fourth quarter with a good defense. You know, I'm going.
Yeah, I'm trying to
do a John Frickyism. I just ain't pull it off. I ain't pull it off like
I know I told you.
You know how John put to marry. You know how John married two things together and it just works seamlessly. I tried to pull it off, dog. I couldn't do it. It didn't vibe for me.
So today at noon, it's Ian Anderson against Luis Castillo. Luis Castillo, here we go again. A guy that, you know, is really he's making his postseason debut, but Castillo can really bring it. So I mean, these three start. If we get to Sonny Gray tomorrow, and hopefully we don't, we'll see another one in this Reds rotation here. Hugh, is it a good sign that the Braves could go out there and strike out a record 21 times and still win the game? Still win the game, 21 strikeouts, and still win the game? Or is it a big concern that, here we go again, the Thunderbats of the Braves are going to fail in the playoffs?
I don't look at it like that. I think that, you know, they battled through, which is always a good sign of a team that, you know, is kind of ready to make that next step. I'm not too much worried about it, John. You know, but I will say this, that old adage comes into play. For me, you know, good pitching beats good hitting, but defense wins championships. That's kind of I can marry those two together because that kind of works in this situation. Because both of those teams played pretty good defense last night.
Yeah, that's what yesterday. I'm going to go with. Right, pitching and defense, bailing out the bats yesterday, because you just said it was a good sign. I agree. I think it's a good sign. And we're going to be asking you that, whether or not this is actually, now that we've had a chance to digest this, a really good sign. A couple other quick things here. NBA Finals last night, game one. The series is now over. The Lakers are going to be world champions. Man, oh mercy, Anthony Davis just lit up the Heat. And the Heat's all banged up, Hugh. Bam's banged up. Dragic is banged up. And now you're wondering if this thing isn't just one and done for the Miami Heat because it was not good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's still, you know, it's still a lot of basketball left to be played. But it does look that way, John. I was looking at this morning, Bam going out during the game. So, yeah, it looks like it could potentially be done. But that's why they play the games.
Yeah, and so we'll see how it goes. Lakers with a dominating win last night. How did the doc go for you?
Oh, it was cool. Everything is fine. You know, I just got to stay on my diet. Lost like 6 pounds.
Uh-huh.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
I found it back when I went to the I ate them snacks, though. No, you know what's funny?
And I was anybody, wondering. I was gonna, after you left the doc, what
no,
happened
no,
then?
You know what's funny? It's like when I have to go away and I weighed in, and, you know, they have a bunch of snacks. Mm-hmm. You still have, like, that's the time, you know, where you eat certain, people know what I'm talking about. When you eat certain things that you haven't eaten in a while and it shocks your system and you get on the scale and it's like you're like 2 or 3 pounds heavy, you're like, wow. But no, no frets, no worries. Just got to get back, you know, drink my water and get back in my routine. I'll be fine. But no, lost 6 pounds, so I'm on my way.
Yeah, you know, congrats, dude. I wish I
shout out to Randy Mack. You know, Randy Mack talking about, you know, don't let the food conquer me. It got me yesterday. I know he probably sleep, but I'm just saying it got me yesterday. But still, because it was some crackers, like some crackers. You can't eat crackers. Can't eat crackers. So yeah.
Oh, well, that's no. Congrats. Listen, 6 pounds is 6 pounds is a start. You know, and it's always the beginning is the hardest, right? The first.
What the thing of it is, John? It's just like anything. And shout out to Nuber T. But it's like anything. It's you know the blueprint. You just have to – you got to get the coach. And that's why they call it, you know, the combine and, you know, mm-hmm. you're working out or whatever. So, yeah, it's just getting that blueprint back down and just following the plan. So, yeah, I'm on the plan now. So
yeah, when Randy went through it, I don't know, a year and a half or so, 2 years ago, whenever he started, I wasn't aware that he was on it. You weren't aware. And we were in studio one day, and he had been on it, obviously, for a while. And one day he walked in, and I looked at him through the glass and I went, when did Randy lose 40 pounds?
Yeah, Randy just looked like, he looked like a human. I mean, he don't look like a football player, just like a guy.
Right. It was like, wow, Randy Mack lost a lot of weight.
He's just a guy. He's just a guy.
Did I miss this? I mean, it's like he went Brian Bosworth on us. Yeah, I mean, you know, because Bosworth was all pumped up. And then, of course, after football, for some unknown and unknowable reason, he dropped like 60 pounds overnight.
Man, I got friends that have done that. Yeah, it's crazy.
And all of a sudden, Brian Bosworth shows up for an interview that I'm doing. And I look at him and I go, dude, I'm the same size you are. What, okay, all right, whatever. You lost 60 pounds overnight. I'm just needling you. That's all. Don't worry about it. Morning Mashup, some of the other stories that we're talking about today. Oren's going to jump into the program. We're going to be asking you, good sign or big concern about what happened in Game 1 with the Atlanta Braves? We'll be doing that as we go towards Game 2 at noon today on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. NFL tonight, Broncos and Jets on your home of the NFL, Sports Radio 92 on the Game and worldwide at radio.com. Sports Radio 92 on the Game Morning Show from the Mobile Kia Studios. Well, I'm at the Mobile Kia Studios up near Bartow Cherokee and all that kind of stuff, way outside the perimeter. But Hugh is not in the studio today. He's actually in the studio holding down the fort there with you and Oren. You've got this worked out, right, Hugh? I mean, you've got it kind of.
What do you mean worked out?
Yesterday there was some concern on your part. I mean,
concern about what? What are you talking about?
About, you know.
Oh, you're talking about Oren. We're taking shots at Oren this morning. You're trying to subliminally take shots at Oren. No, because he asked me, have I worked it out? What did I need to work out? Oren had the COVID.
Yeah,
and he had it Monday.
With a D.
I said he had, like, it was.
Not have with a D. Yeah,
he had the COVID. What's the issue? That was yesterday.
I haven't coughed yet today, John, so I haven't seen him flinch or do anything yet about that.
I mean, yeah.
I was just making sure. I wanted to make sure everything was copacetic. That's all. I
know everything was cool. Everything was cool.
Nothing is COVID-cetic. Everything is copacetic.
Everything is cool.
Morning mashup time for Morin as he cracks the mic open this morning. How you doing, Orin? You doing good?
Good. Just still scared to cough around Hugh Douglas because Hugh give me these looks like, like man, if I cough one more time.
But Orin, you act like I ain't doing nothing that nobody else would do in the same situation. You know it's uncomfortable. If you were at home with your mother and you had the COVID and you coughed, she would be like, hold up,
my mama's like two states away, Mississippi. I see my girlfriend. I see folks at my other job. So I don't see a lot of folks, Hugh. So I kind of get, you know, I don't see a lot of people, Hugh. So when one person gives you that reaction, I'm going to assume like, damn, everybody going to look at
you
me.
You know
that
what? Speaking of a lot of people, not to hijack your segment, but boy. There were a lot of folks at the Battery yesterday just
no kid.
Chilling.
I mean, right. Somebody got somebody wet. They multiplied, bro.
Let them in the stadium where we can socially distance these people.
Hey, all I saw was a Petri dish. I'm sorry. Damn. I was like, wow. Ain't nobody in that book social distance.
You're doing that now, huh?
Yeah. No, he ain't wrong. That's why I was saying the Twitter. Let him in, you know. Hey, I mean, we can
do what you do. Like, live like a little Duval say, live your best life. But I'm
living my best life.
I'm just like, no.
I'm not standing next to all of y'all.
You were asking me whether I was going to go to the Battery. There's your answer.
Hey, listen. Probably not. I just saw them children. I'm like, you count me out. I ain't going. But I digress. Morning mashup. Go.
Morning mashup time. That's a hell of an intro for me, I guess, there. We'll start with the Braves and the Reds yesterday. Trevor Bauer. Hell of a performance yesterday. All of the Reds pitchers just sort of – it wasn't just the Braves had bad – just there were so many bad at-bats. And we're going back and forth in our text thread yesterday talking about that, just how
– oh, Abe was on one.
Abe was on one.
Abe sent like in a barrage of like texts, and I'm just like, come on, Abe, really?
He wasn't happy. Trevor Bauer yesterday, as he exited the mound, he made a little tomahawk chop motion. The Braves – Freddie said, yeah, he saw it, and – I mean, hell, the guy had a great performance, so that's what you do when you have great performances. He was happy to get the win. But here's a collection of Trevor Bauer cuts after yesterday's game.
I'm disappointed. Sucks. Oh, you know, someone said I had to bring my A game, so I brought my A game. Those guys pitched really well, every single one of them. I mean, even in the last inning, Archie, I mean, two balls that just sneak through. It's not, you know, not his fault. He pitched well, and Amir's been great for us all year, so you can't fault the pitching.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Listen, to me, that goes back to what Freddie basically said yesterday. You know, we got hitters throughout this lineup, and, you know, you got to throw at least 100-and-something-odd pitches, you know, I know it was more than that during the course of the day, but still, you're going to have to be perfect going up against that lineup, and he got caught. They got caught, and that's exactly what happened. But like I said, to me, the biggest thing was the defense and the way that they played yesterday on both sides. So yeah, it was a disappointing loss for the Reds, but for us it was great. It was great drama, and I think it probably was a catalyst that the Braves needed to, like, you know, get over that hump, if you will. I think today is going to be a surprising day for everybody. I think it's going to be something significantly different than it was yesterday.
I have no problem with the Bauer chop. I mean, I should, but I don't, because when you go out there and perform like that. We don't chop anymore, right?
Because that's not PC.
The Braves players still chop.
I was asking. I don't know.
You're right. It's not. I mean, I guess it's not PC. But until they tell the Braves players to stop chopping, I would think if there had been 40, however many, what is true as Park Hole, 43. If there had been 43,000 people yesterday during the bottom of the 13th inning, the chop would have been loud and strong. I mean, I don't know how you stop it, you know. I don't know how you stop people from doing it.
Why weren't those kids in Zoom classes anyway? That kind of got my mind going now. Why weren't they in Zoom class?
It did look like there were a lot of school-age kids just running around.
No, I'm saying, I'm just like, what kind of parenting we doing down here in Georgia?
Responsible. I wish my mama would have brought me out of school to go to a Braves game.
Like, no, you missed Zoom class?
My mama never took me out of school for any Braves. I'll tell you a story one time. They had this promotion at my elementary school where if you did well in school, you got Braves tickets. This is like 93 in the heat of the Giants and Braves pennant race. Mm-hmm. And it was a late season series versus the Giants. I scored tickets to this game. The seats weren't great. This is back in Fulton County. And my mom was like, yeah, you can go, but you got to make sure you finish your homework first. And I'm going, we're going to a Braves game. She's like, bring your books. So I brought all my books with me, sat in Fulton County Stadium in the left field bleachers and did homework. And we left at like the seventh inning because she's like, you got school tomorrow. We're not staying for this whole game. So, yeah, did my homework. As they were doing batting practice, we got there like 3 hours early. I'm in the stands, batting practice, doing my homework, and then we leave in the seventh. Luckily, they were winning big enough.
But you know what, though, Orin? That's a testament to the person that you are and the person that your mother helped develop you to be. Shout out to moms, man. Yeah. I mean, but that's a good thing, man, because that's discipline. I mean, and you're a disciplined person to this day. So shout out to the moms that do stuff like that, man. That's last of a dying breed right there, man. That's pretty dope.
You also scored private school because of it. I mean, so
yeah, it's like listen, Lord, well-rounded individual.
Here we go. Morning mashup. Story number two.
We'll stay in Major League Baseball here. The Astros, I tell you what, they are truly embracing that villain role they're in right now.
Yes,
it's us versus them. It's sort of like Nebraska versus the Big Ten. Uh-huh. Congrats, Nebraska and the Astros are in the same classification as everybody come at us. Yes,
we never cheated to win a title.
They're all in the same class now.
No, they're not.
In any case, Carlos Correa, after the game yesterday, kind of sent a message to, hey, if you got something to say to us, well, you shouldn't have anything to say to us right now.
I know a lot of people are mad. I know a lot of people don't want to see us here. But what are they going to say now? You know, we're a solid team. We play great baseball. We won a series on the road in Minnesota. So what are they going to say now?
Yeah, well, hey, listen, you know, banging job.
You know what's funny? I thought at the beginning of the season they weren't allowed to be in the playoffs. That's what I thought. Am I wrong? Wasn't that the conversation? Because there were a lot of people feeling like, you know, potentially they could be in it. I thought there was some conversation about them not being able to go.
You know, I don't recall. It's
maybe that was
maybe
in my mind.
That was floated out as a, you know, Hugh, it may have been floated out as a potential, you know, punishment for them. I don't know that we never got to that point, and then the season got stopped down. But I want the Astros to understand something. These fans have not forgotten, because you know what the Astros are forgetting is that we get through this postseason and then we're good. Oh no, you got another round to go. You got the fans to go.
Can I help you out with something there, John? As a former player, if they make it all the way to the World Series after all of that controversy that they had, and that they're not that far removed from that controversy. You know what that gives the players a right to say? It didn't matter about us having stealing signs, anything like that. We're a pretty damn good ball club. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. To be accused, it's almost like comparable. No, it is comparable to the New England Patriots and the run that they were on and all the allegations. I mean, I'm just keeping it 100 with you. All the allegations that were levied against the Patriots about stealing signs, about, you know, Spygate or whatever. Dude, for them to still be in the class that they are, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I think the Astros are a great team. And they could have won it without all this cheating they did. And this is why, you know, it was kind of confounding.
So the best thing we could do is just hope for them not to make it all the way.
Yeah, well, and if they do, you know, hopefully maybe the Braves will play them. And you know, we could be the good guys and knock them out and win a World Series. How about that one, too? Morning mashup story number three.
All righty. So I kind of went back and forth on what story to do last here. There's a Bleacher Report show that a guy does where he plays pool with former athletes and stars. One of the guys he played pool with yesterday was Devin Hester. And Devin talked about Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, former, mentioned on the show about his chickens and what was killing him. Devin Hester absolutely roasts Jay Cutler right here.
He's not really a sociable guy. He's not a talker, you know what I mean? He picks one or two guys, and he just leashes on them and separates himself from everybody. As a quarterback, like, I tell him to his face today that, to me, my years in the NFL, I played 11 years. He's the best quarterback when it comes to accuracy, power, knowledge of the game. The best quarterback hands down I ever played with. Now, when it comes to a leadership, the worst.
I don't know Jay Cutler, but Devin Hester, to me, is describing most quarterbacks in the NFL. I said most, not all. Not all, because I've known some pretty decent guys. Mark Brunell was a pretty decent guy, but I have to say that probably was because, you know, he was on the tail end of his career. But he was a good guy to me. I didn't know him when he was in his prime. But most quarterbacks are distant. I mean, that's kind of, you know, the position, to be honest. You know?
Yeah, and listen, that's why, you know, the hardest position to play in all of professional sports, and they know it too. I mean, it is the hardest position to play well in all of professional sports. Why they're paid so much money. That's why Patrick Mahomes is getting $500 million of them things. All right, the Braves, are they in position to knock out the Reds in Game 2 today? And was yesterday, the way it happened, a good sign for the Braves going forward, or is it give you a lot of concern? Was it a big concern of what happened yesterday? I'm going to ask you and talk about that as we continue next. It is the morning show on this Thursday on Sports Radio 92 on the game and worldwide at radio.com.
First pitch misses high, and now they've got it, a rundown Kyle Farmer. Runner from third blanks for the plate. All the Braves need to do is tag him and execute it. And the tag is a line right before Aquino can cross the plate.
Matt Vasgersian on ESPN yesterday as the Braves execute a base-running blunder. There were a couple of base-running blunders by the Cincinnati Reds in those softball uniforms they were wearing. Austin Riley with the diving tag before the runner could cross the plate. One of the better defensive plays on a day where Austin Riley played really good defense. And the Braves used pitching and defense to win a marathon game one. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, we always welcome you to be part of the program, 404-741-0929. Same phone number, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Also, our Twitters, at 92.9 The Game, at BigHugh53, and at John Fricke, at Orrin Romaine, at Abe Gordon, if you want to jump in with the rest of the program, rest of the team here. Hugh, we were talking in the opening segment, and I want to ask all of you fans out there, fans like me, and Hugh, and everybody, I'll ask Orrin and Abe in a moment, the big question that I just asked on Twitter. Today is game two of the NL Wild Card Series. Of course, Luis Castillo against Ian Anderson, noon start, Truist Park. Was the 13-inning, poor-hitting, great pitching, 1-0, 21 strikeout, Braves win in game one. Was that, Hugh, was it a good sign that the Braves could win a game like that and prove that they don't just have to hit home runs, but they can win with pitching, defense, and even if they're not hitting? Or was it a big concern because, as you like to say, Hugh, great pitching beats great hitting, and boy, yesterday the Braves hitting was getting beat all over the place.
I think it was a good sign. I think it was a good sign, John, because, you know, the old adage is, you know, good pitching beats good hitting. And, you know, you saw a pitcher's duel yesterday, and the Braves came out on top. You know, and you were talking about, because it was one sequence where A was talking about Marcell Ozuna and not doing the sack fly and things of that nature, and how he was upset about that. And then his mood just automatically went to doom and gloom. And then for Freddie to come back and win it the way that he won it, I think that's a good sign. I mean, because that was a heavyweight championship bout yesterday, in a sense, where you talk about two heavyweights going at it, and nobody wanted to relent on it, and the Braves came out on top. I mean, just looking at some of the comments on Twitter and everything about the moments that the game could have been won, but it wasn't won, and how people were feeling some kind of way about it, and for them to win it in that fashion, I think that's a huge confidence builder.
Yeah, you look at the numbers yesterday. This is why I'm asking all of you out there, you know, at 404-741-0929. The whole lineup is guilty here, but we'll just to pick four guys here. Marcell Ozuna, 0-for-5, 3 strikeouts, and yes, he had the pop-out that could have given him a run. A guy that led the major leagues in home runs and RBIs and led the National League. Marcell Ozuna, 0-for-5, 3 strikeouts. Adam Duvall, hottest hitter in the National League in September, 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. And by the way, not just 4 strikeouts, I mean bad strikeouts. I mean missing the ball by a foot and a half. Dansby Swanson, 0-for-5, 3 strikeouts. Austin Riley, 1-for-5, though it was an important one, 3 strikeouts. Those four guys, Orrin, Ozuna, Duvall, Dansby, and Riley, combined to go 1 of 19 with 13 strikeouts. I mean, that's just almost unimaginable. So is that a really big concern? Because this pitching, as you just said, is going to shut us down, or is it a good sign that we can still have that and still find a way to win?
I mean, any win is a good win, I guess. What was it, Nick Saban, this past weekend after their game against Missouri, was talking about how winning ugly sometimes has consequences. Yeah, I guess, but it's still a win. And the idea is that those guys aren't going to hit that way continuously this entire series. They've proven this year that they're quality hitters enough to where if they have a bad game, they can rebound. So luckily you have other guys in the lineup that if you need to have the slack picked up, you have some guys that can pick up the slack too. You ran into a guy yesterday who was a hot pitcher. You ran into the Cy Young, and there's only going to be one Cy Young winner in the National League this year, and that was the guy you happened to face in game one. So that Bauer had his day yesterday. Not to say that the Reds pitch is not going to have a good day this day, but you ran into one of the best pitchers in baseball yesterday, and you got a win in that game too. So that shouldn't be forgotten.
Let's keep in mind, Blakester tweets into us, Bauer arguably the Cy Young winner this year. No concern. It's the playoffs. It's not easy. Our guys hung in there. That's the good thing, Abe. Our guys did hang in there. But let's not if you're looking at it from the Cincinnati perspective, the Braves didn't win this game. The Reds blew it. I mean, the Reds had opportunity after opportunity in their mind, and they're probably right, that they lost this game. The Braves didn't win it. So is the fact that the Braves did win it a good sign, or is there cause for concern?
Well, first off, I completely disagree with that assessment. I think the Braves – well, the Braves had the first opportunity to truly win it. And Marcell Ozuna hits a sack fly, the game's over. So you can talk about them as many times as the Reds blew it in extras, but the Braves had the first chance to win it. I mean, that's just straightforward and simple. Everyone saw that. So, look, this is a really good sign. I laid it out to you guys over text yesterday, and I looked at the season-long results. The Braves have not gone a single series all season long where they didn't score at least four runs in one of the games. All season long. So if that trend continues, either today or tomorrow, if necessary, they're going to score at least four runs. The fact that you win this game, we've all said, and John, you've been the leader of the charge here because I have had doubts about the pitching staff, that the offense is going to carry this team to wherever it needs to go. The fact that you didn't use that offense in one game here, you're probably going to get it in a big way in game two or three. This is a really good win. I think the series is over. I always thought whoever won game one in a three-game series would probably go on to win the series. This is a really good sign, and I expect either today or tomorrow, you're going to get a blowout. You're going to get one of those 7 or 10-run spots. And the Braves are going to move on.
Huey, we've had a spate of choking in Atlanta sports lately, have we not? The fact that the Braves, all I can think about, in kind of the later innings yesterday, well, I think about two things. One, the game was going on forever, and I'm going, man, I got things to do. Come on, end this thing. But the second thing I thought was, oh, here we go again. We're going to choke again. It's Atlanta, hashtag Atlanta. But they did, Hugh, they didn't choke.
See, John, I'm going to go ahead and just keep it 100 with you. That's more, I would say, on you than it is the team. Because I looked at it as two teams fighting because they knew how significant that first win would be and how much momentum that first game could potentially carry. And like I said, I'm watching the match yesterday, the game, and I'm not – everything that everybody else saw – that they were tweeting about. I did not see that. I did not see it. And I'm not going to call any names out, but some of the folks know who they are and how they tweeted me and talked about how terrible this team was and what they were going to do and all this other stuff. And as soon as they won, the sentiment changed. But, dude, you can't – like you can't have a negative attitude when things start to go south immediately. And start, throwing out that negative energy. Because that's what I kind of got from it. Especially after the Marcell Ozuna non-sack play. Especially after that. Dude, that was a stressful situation for everybody that was involved in that game. And then as it goes on, John, you got to realize that as it goes on, guys, the moment tends to ramp up every inning. I mean, it becomes more and more intense. And some people crumble under that pressure. Some people rise to the occasion, like Freddie Freeman did. And I think that as a fan, you know, I know you all wanted to go the way that you wanted to go, but it ain't as easy as you try to make it out to be. It's not. That to me, I saw some great play on both sides. And I saw some historic moments being made because there were two teams out there that really, really wanted it. You know, you talk about the Cincinnati Reds and the fact that they haven't been in this position in a while, and then the Braves are fighting their own demons, and they both wanted to have it. And they know how much a moment like that could swing the momentum. That's what I saw. But other people wanted to take that time. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just giving you my perspective from the way that I saw it. And other people want to take that moment, and they just want to lump the Braves in with everything else that's been going on and say, oh, we're cursing. This is just a part of our fandom and all. Man, go on with that. Go on with that.
Yeah, it's hard not to separate the two at times.
No, here. I get it.
Because of our history in this town. But, yeah, I know what you're saying.
I get it.
The Braves win in a game where they strike out 21 times. The big hitting Braves, whose bats are going to carry them, had the worst hitting game I've ever seen them have. They still won with pitching and defense. Is that a good sign, or is it a big concern that they did strike out so much in the postseason? We have a chance to take your calls at 404-741-0929. Let's hear from you Braves fans as we continue on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.